today. How many of y'all already put into the service? Hallelujah. How many really got into praise and worship? Hallelujah. I got a friend of mine now. He's not as active as I am, let me put it that way. And he just stands there and he'll be in praise and worship and he'll be just standing there. If you look at him and say, he ain't nowhere within 100 miles of this place. But you got to know him, and everybody's personality is different, you know. But he said, man, people think I don't worship the Lord. He said, if they can see me inside, I'm jumping up and down on the inside. Yeah. I thought to myself, well, you need to let some of it fall on the outside. But I didn't tell him that. But he would have received it if I had, because that's how good a friend he is to me. But anyway, sometimes we need to let our body know how we feel inside. Glory, hallelujah. And that's one of the things we're going to be looking at today. Sometimes you don't feel like pressing on. Sometimes you don't feel like getting up and doing nothing. How many of you know what I'm talking about? How many of you know you got an enemy out there? He don't want you saved. He don't want you filled with the Holy Ghost. He don't want you healed. He don't want you praising God. He wants to put a damper on you and stop you from giving glory to God in the life that you live. We're going to be looking at what, as I was studying and meditating, and a couple weeks ago to the Lord, and it was almost, and it could have been, a vision. And when we get to that part today, I will tell you about it. But he showed me that, and this has been several weeks ago, you know, and I wondered, why did he just bring that up to me? And now I know, because I didn't know then that I would be ministering now, but he did. He knew. So we'll be looking at that in a little bit. But the title of the message today is, look at someone, say, stay on course. Stay on course. Because 1 Peter 5 and 8 and 9 says, be sober, be vigilant. Let's just turn over there. 1 Peter 5 and 8 and 9. Says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. You have an adversary, and he's going to try to stop you in everything you do to give praise and glory and honor to God. He's going to try to put a damper on your worship and praise. He's going to try to use your body, your mind, your whole being to keep you from getting in the presence of God. I'm telling you like it is. Read the Word. That's what it said. But look, that don't mean that we have to give in. But look what verse 9 says. Look at what verse 9 says. Whom resist steadfast in the faith. How do you resist? You do right opposite of what he's trying to get you to do. If he wants you to lay around because you feel achy and you don't want to get up and do nothing, no. Now, I can say this because for the last couple of weeks, I have been fighting the devil. And sometimes I just took, give it, and lay there and didn't do nothing. But in my mind and in my spirit, I was rebuking the devil. Sometimes this old body just can stand so much, you've got to have rest. If you keep going and keep going and keep getting run down, it's going to take longer and longer and longer for you to bounce back. And that's not just in sickness, that's in a lot of things. But look what he says, whom resist? Who's going to resist him? Is God going to resist the devil for you? You mean God? I'm one of his children. You know, he said he's going to give me everything I desire. He's already given you everything that you should ever desire through the atonement on the cross. He's given you the victory. are to resist steadfast in the faith. What is faith? Huh? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. A lot of people don't want you nowadays, especially in the faith, word of faith churches, man, don't never say, I hope, because that's, you don't have faith when you say that. That's wrong. The Bible says hope deferred makes the heart sick. You don't have hope, you don't have nothing. And the Bible also says Abraham believed God and was counted unto him for righteousness. What was he talking about? He said, in spite of hope, no hope whatsoever, Abraham still hoped in the blessings of God that God spoke to him. So then why did he tell Abraham, you don't need to hope, you need to just have faith in me? No. Hope. We got to hang in on that hope. Glory be to God. Now look, let's get back up here, verse 9. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions that you're going through are accomplished or going through your brothers in the world. You're not in the boat alone. You know that? Huh? How many of you like to get in that boat by yourself and just row around and having a pity party? Letting everybody see what you're going through, but don't want nobody to get in to help you get out of it. Woo, glory, hallelujah. It's getting quiet in this Holy Ghost filled church, ain't it? Woo, hallelujah. Praise God. Now look, I want you to focus on something here. Look up there in verse 8. He says, be sober. What does be sober mean? It means be sober. Hallelujah. Sober in the Greek says, I'm going to spell it because I'm not good at pronouncing all this stuff. N-E-P-H-O. To drink no intoxicants, live soberly and righteous. Be sober means don't be drinking intoxicants. How many of you ever know somebody to drink and would drink and they get to a place where they didn't even know what they're talking about? I've been, when I was in that kind of life. Yeah, they did. They had to answer to everybody's problems. But their life was in a mess. Yes. Thought it was, yeah, that's right. glory, hallelujah. I lost that train of thought. It's come back in Jesus' name. But you see somebody that's drunk. Yeah, drink too much intoxicant. They know everything, like we said, and they have been through everything. They have answered everybody's problems but their own. Their life's in a mess. Be sober means you need to have your mind, your heart, your spirit clear and focused on what you're doing. You can't stay focused being intoxicated. Did you know that? Now look down here, and look up there at verse 8. Be vigilant. And the Greek word for vigilant is G-R-E-G-O-R-E-O, or do you? I can't even read my own right. That means to be awake and watchful. Never be off your guard. Listen to this. Never be off your guard. Why? Because Satan goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He's going about to try to find a way into your life, into you, to stop you from fulfilling the God's plan for your life. How many of you thought that when you got born again, all the fighting over the devil with the devil was gone? No, honey, when you got born again, it just started. It just started. Glory, hallelujah. And we're going to be looking at someone in a little while, a mighty man of God, but lived a life of complete turmoil because he would refuse to get out of God's will. Hallelujah. And that's where we got to be. and that vigilant. Awake, watchful, never be off your guard, and be ready every moment to resist the devil. To be ready every moment to resist the devil. Look at someone say, you can't get slack and fighting the devil and going to fulfill the will God has for you. You can't. You can't get slack. Glory, hallelujah. Now, let's just go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. How many of you know who I'm talking about when I said a man of God that refused to get off of God's assignment, off of track of what God told him? He's talking about Paul. Paul. How many of you know that Paul went through some stuff? How many of you know that Paul knew some stuff too? Hallelujah. And we're going to be looking at how and why Paul knew all the stuff that he knew. Hallelujah. Are you at chapter 12, 1 Corinthians? I'm going to be reading this out of the New Living Translation. I can understand it a little better than I can the King James, okay? This is for me, okay? Starting with verse 1. This boasting is also foolish. But let me go on. Let me tell about the visions and the revelations I received from the Lord. I was called up to the third heaven 14 years ago. Whether my body was there or just my spirit, I don't know. Only God knows. But I do know that I was called up into paradise and heard things so astounding that they cannot be told. That experience is something worth boasting about, but I'm not going to do that. I'm going to boast only about my weaknesses. I want you to get this. I'm going to boast only about my weaknesses. Paul's got a revelation here that we need to get. 2 Corinthians, what did I say first? Now, see, somebody was paying attention, wasn't it? I could say I did that on purpose, but I'd be lying. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Are we all there now? Do I need to start over? Hallelujah. I am going to, let's see, let me get back up here to verse 4. But I do not know that. No, but I do know that things so astounding that they cannot be told. That experience is something worth boasting about, but I am not going to do it. I am going to boast only devil, you're a liar. I have plenty to boast about, and would be no fool in doing so, because it would be telling the truth. But I don't do it. I won't do it. I don't want anyone to think more highly of me than what they can actually see in my life and my message. There's a man after God's own heart. I don't want nobody boasting about me, nothing they can't see in my life. I'm not going to tell you how great I am and how much God has given me and the wisdom that God's given me. It's what Paul said. I'm going to boast in my weakness. If you want to see God, what God's doing in my life, you look at my life. Look at my life. Glory, hallelujah. I don't want anyone to think more highly of me than they can actually see in my life and message. Even though, verse 7, even though I have received wonderful revelations from God, but to keep me from getting puffed up, listen to this. You've heard all kind of preaching and teaching on Paul and this thorn in the flesh, all kind of sickness and disease, his eyes wasn't no good, and all kind of, if you read the Word and pay attention, he'll tell you what he's talking about. And I know you know, even though I have received wonderful revelation from God, but to keep me from getting puffed up, I was given a thorn in my flesh. Listen to this. He's going to tell you what that thorn is. A messenger from Satan to torment me The King James says to buffet me, to torment me and keep me from getting proud. Three different times I begged the Lord to take it away. Each time he said, my gracious favor is all you need. My power works best in your weakness. That's why Paul said, I will boast in my weaknesses. My grace is all you need. My power, glory be to God. Listen to what he's saying here. My power works best in your weaknesses. How many of us want to do it ourselves? I know people that has, well, I'm going to start a church. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. Some things are only done for a season. Some people step out and do things and get ahead of God and it's the door slammed shut in their face. I've had people ask me, say, why come you don't start a church, man? Don't you miss it? I said, yes, I do. Why come you don't start a church? I said, because God hadn't told me to. He hadn't told me to. I've even talked to Patsy before. Man, well, I need to maybe get a building, something, start a church, you know, and all. I said, the only thing with that is, I don't believe that's what God wants me to do. How many of you know if God wants you to do something, he'll tell you? He'll tell you. Hallelujah. My power works best in your weakness. It don't say my power won't work if you're involved in it. He said, but my power works best in your weakness. That's why he said, when I am weak, I'll say, the word says, when you're weak, say you are strong. Look at someone, say, I'm strong. In the Lord and the power of his might. I have to tell myself all the time. When I am weak, then I am strong. And I have to tell myself all the time, God, I can't do this without you. And I'm serious. Why? Because he's already told me in his word that without me, you are nothing. So if I'm nothing, I can't do nothing. I am not without him. He says, without me, you can do nothing. But I am not without him because he lives on the inside of me. So therefore, I can say, I am strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I don't go in my own strength and my own might. I go in the strength and the might of the Lord. And he also tells me that I can do all things through Christ Jesus, which strengthens me. I'm not doing it myself. I'm doing it with the strength of God. Hallelujah. But do you really believe that's what he meant? Yes, I do. Because if he did not mean what he said, then he would be a liar. And I like this illustration. Heard a minister say one time, and it sounds so good. If he was a liar, he would have to self-destruct. Because he can't lie. Glory be to God. So, and my weaknesses. I say, God, if that's what you want me to do, then you've got to give me the power and the strength to do it. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Now let's go on. So now I am glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may work through me. You remember the children of Israel? Many a time, King Jehoshaphat, different ones going out against an army bigger than them. And then when they cried out to God, God said, hey, don't worry about them. I'll take care of them. And God would defeat their enemies before their eyes. Why? Because they called upon God. He tells us the same thing. He said, if you will call upon me, I will answer you and I'll show you great and mighty things. Hallelujah. But the problem is, a lot of times we don't call on God. I got this myself. I go to the store and get me some medicine and all, and I'll take it. I don't need, you know, I can take care of this myself. And we'll do that and we'll suffer and we'll prolong the sickness and stuff, we could have been already out of it. Glory, hallelujah. Now look what he said. Since I know it is all for Christ's good, I am quite content with my weaknesses and with insults. Now, you better make your mind up. You're going to serve the Lord because he's listening to some things here you're going to go through as a Christian. Since I know it is all for Christ's good, I am quite content with my weaknesses and with insults, hardships, persecutions, calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Glory, hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Go to Romans chapter 5. Glory, hallelujah. Let's start in verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. How do we receive the grace of God? Through faith. What he said. Look what he just said. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. And rejoice by faith now. And rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Don't give up on your hope. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Lord, we don't want that, do we? We don't want that, do we? We glory in tribulation. How many of us jump up and down and shout when we're going through some tribulation? We haven't even tipped the iceberg of what Paul went through with. And all he could do was praise God. We glory in tribulation. Praise God, the devil's fighting me on all sides. Now you're going to joy in that because I know I have the victory in Jesus. Hallelujah. He's already given you everything you need, all the word, everything you need. How do you fight the devil the same way Jesus did with the word of God? And the word is true. And I'll go a step further. The word is spirit and it's life and it's health to all your flesh. The word that you speak out of your mouth is a living word that will accomplish what you sent it out to do. God said, my word will not return back into me void, but it will accomplish what I sent it to do. When you speak the word, you're returning that word back to God. It will not return void. It will accomplish what it says. Glory, hallelujah. Can somebody say amen in this Holy Ghost-filled church? That's worth shouting about. If I'm not living in victory, I need to change my confession. Be careful what I say. Glory, hallelujah. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. How many of you ever prayed, Lord, give you patience? I'll pray for you to have patience if you want me to. It'll work too. Did you know that? But you got to go through some. You got to go through some junk in order to get that patience. Why? Tribulation. All kinds of things. Paul said he went through all of this stuff. Shipwrecks. Why was he going through that? Because the devil was trying to stop him and stop his witness for the Lord. Same thing he'll do you and I. How many of you are hard-headed? Raise your hand. I'm hard-headed. Devil tells me I can't do something. You're a liar. I'm serious. As it say, did you tell him that you would minister and you coughing and all like you are? I said, honey, I did. Why did you do that? Because the devil said, you can't do that. And I said, no, I can do all things through Christ Jesus. She's a good wife. She was looking out for my well-being. She was. She is. Do you listen? You were looking out for her. Hallelujah. Do you listen to your wife? Men, do you listen to your wife? Sometimes. I can't say all the time because I don't. Hallelujah. But sometimes we need to listen to our spouses, you know. Sometimes we do. But all the time we need to listen to the word of the Lord. What's God saying to you? You know? Glory be to God. Now look here in verse 4. And look, let's go back to verse 3. And not only so, but with glory and tribulation. Praise God. I thank you, Lord. I'm going through some tribulation, some tests, and some trials. Let's praise God in this trial and test and tribulation I'm going through. Why? Because it works patience in your life. Works patience in your life. And the Bible says, let patience have its perfect work. When you let patience have, when you go through this stuff and you have the patience to go through it, you're going to come out stronger on the other side than when you went in this stuff. And the next time you look back when temptation, tests, and trials come your way, you look back and say, oh man, that's nothing. I've already come through something worse than that. Hallelujah. It's the truth. I got to hurry up, hadn't I? Ain't got but 2 more hours. Lord, I got to go. Hallelujah. Hey, don't get upset now. I'm just cutting up, okay? Glory, hallelujah. Y'all be slamming stuff down and running out the door a little bit. No, I'm just picking with you. Hallelujah. And patience. Now listen to this. You got to have patience. Now once that temptation, test, and trial brings those patience, look what it says. Then and patience brings experience, or patience brings steadfastness. How many of you know that we need to be steadfast in the things of the Lord? Not easily shaken around with every wind of doctrine. Hallelujah. And patience or steadfastness brings experience. And experience brings hope. How many of you need experience? How many of you know, say, well, I know what it's like to be married now. I do. I know what it's like to be married 42 years now. If you had it to do over, what would you do? I said, I would marry her again. Why? Because I married her, because I love her. Hallelujah. That's everything I've always been. A flower bed of ease, and you've got everything you ever wanted? No. But she hadn't either. Hallelujah. But it's because of the commitment that we have for each other, the love we have for one another, we've survived the test of time for 42 years. Hallelujah. Has it been some rough? Yes, it has. But it's been a lot of good, too. Yes, a lot of good. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. And hope maketh not ashamed. Now look at that. Well, let's go back. I want to look at hope up here, he says in verse 4. And patience experience, and experience hope. Now, that word hope there, I'm just going to spell it to you. It's supposed to be L-E-L-P-I-S. Hope. Means desire of some good with expectation of obtaining it. Desiring something good with expectation of obtaining it. Now you look back to Abraham. God promised him a son when his body was dead and there was no hope whatsoever. But he hoped in God and lived to see that hope come manifest. Now that's why hope is so important in your life and in mine. I like that. Desire of something good with expectation of obtaining it. Pastor Robert preached a message not too long ago. It says hope. Hope. Confident expectation. And that's exactly what he's talking about there. Glory. Hallelujah. Now you're going to hang on to your hope a little longer, aren't you? Hallelujah. Why? Hope deferred makes the heart sick, so you better not. If you don't have any hope, you're in a mess. The Bible says, Christ in me, the hope of glory. the hope of glory. It's on the inside of me. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Glory, hallelujah. And look at verse 5. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Hope don't make shame, but because the Word of God, the love of God, is the Word of God, the love of God is shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost. I've heard people say, well, you don't know how bad someone has hurt me. I said, you got to let go of that bitterness. You don't know how bad they have hurt me. I said, I want to tell you something. I just can't forgive them. I said, if God has already given you, He's already shed the love of God in your heart by the Holy Ghost. If you're born again, the love of God has been shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. The love of God is on the inside of you. Don't tell me that you can't forgive someone. If that God kind of blood is on the inside of you, that agape love of God, the unconditional love of God, is on the inside of you, then the only reason you can't forgive someone is you don't choose to. You don't choose to. Why? Because if Jesus can say, Father, forgive them, they don't know what they're doing. Don't lay this sin to their charge. And if He can do that, and He is love, and He's on the inside of you, you can do it too. Hallelujah. And you're not hurting the person you're holding the grudge on. You're hurting yourself. You're stopping the blessings of God from flowing in your life. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And look at verse 6. For when we were without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. So He died so He can live on the inside of me. Glory be to God. So I can do what He has called me to do. So I can fight that good fight of faith and lay hold on eternal life. Glory be to God. I can do all things through Christ Jesus, which strengthens me. Why? Because I'm not doing it on my own. If I was doing it on my own, I'd have stayed at home this morning. I had no idea of what God's going to say through this service this morning. All I know is I wrote down all I got. I want you to understand something. I got a few scriptures in that thing. Because I did spend time praying. I said, Lord, just give me the words you want to say to us. I spend time praying and in the Holy Ghost and stuff, you know, behind, because I want His will to be done, not mine. His will to be done. I can't help you. I can't meet your needs, but God can help you and meet every need you have. So my ministry is to point you to God, showing you that He's already made a way where there seems to be no way. He's already made a road, a highway in the wilderness for you. He's already done it. Glory, hallelujah. Now I want you to, let's go to James chapter 1. And we're going to look at patience a little bit more right there. Glory, hallelujah. James chapter 1, let's look at verse 2 and 3. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations or temptation tests and trials. How many of you ever been joyful? Huh? Have you ever had joy in your life? What do you do when you got joy in your heart? Does it come out? Did somebody look over and say, well, I tell you what, that person there is really joyful today, ain't they? And they're sitting over there like old mule eating briar. No, they see behind. There's a glow to him. Boy, he's smiling. He's happy. He's got joy. Joy down in my heart. Joy down in my heart. When you got the joy down in your heart, it's going to come out. Listen to what he says. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, tests, and trials. Count it all joy. In other words, you need to just dance a little bit, shout a little bit, and praise God. It makes no difference whether you see my joy or not. God wants to see my joy. He's wanting to see my joy. Count it all joy when you fall into divers temptation, test, and trial. Why? Because I got a chance to grow in God. That patience. Be patient when you're going through all this stuff. Praying and spending time with God, He'll show you and teach you a lot of things. You know that? Things that you didn't ever dream of. Glory, hallelujah. Count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, tests, and trials, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Trying of your faith worketh patience. Have you ever really had to use your faith? I want to tell you something, and this is the truth. When I was pastoring, and all kind of circumstances was involved in it. How many of you ever pastored when somebody else has pastored? A lot of times, and I'm not saying all the time, a lot of times you inherit a lot of problems you didn't deserve. Pastor Jim knows that. So you have to pray and seek God's face and do the very best you can. But because of someone before you and circumstances and all before you, there's only a limit of time or a season that you may be there because it may be coming to an end. There's a lot of temptations, tests, and trials, things you don't know about. Look what he's saying here. But let patience have its perfect work that you may be perfect, mature, wanting nothing. You got to be patient and let God take care of the situation. I pastored over at Abundant Life Faith Church for 10 years. And when the Lord opened that door, it was in a mess, a struggle and everything. What few people we had were good, and it grew. But any time you put your heart in anything, you have an adversary, and he's going to do everything he can to stop it. And how many of you know that there's a lot of people in the church that don't pray and ask God to lead them. They don't. They just say, well, you know, I think I'm going to find me somewhere else to go. I don't like the way the preacher wears his coat. I don't like because he took his coat off when he's preaching, different things. But you have got to do what God has called you to do. Let patience have its perfect work. For 2 years, the last 2 years I pastored there, I did not receive any kind of finances at all. Why? Because we couldn't afford it. You know, we were just doing everything. What in the world? I didn't have no bunch of money saved up, no savings account and stuff. I had four kids I had to raise and a wife and me, and we all liked to eat. But then I'm telling you, and I say, what you going to do? The Lord hadn't told me to leave. So I'm going to stay. Well, what we can't pay you? I said, you don't have to pay me. I don't work for you. I work for God. First thing. I said, before I started pastoring here, God was my source. After I started pastoring here, even when I was in business for myself, my business wasn't my source. God was my source. And I said, then if this is where he wants me, then he'll make sure that my needs are met. Honest to the Lord, never got behind with one payment or nothing. Ever. For 2 years, never received a salary. But money came where we had no idea people even knew and came to us. I had friends that would come by and give me money. And I hadn't said anything to them or nothing, you know, just because they heard the voice of the Lord. Hallelujah. And we, Pastor says, you don't worry about nothing, honey. I don't worry. And she can tell you, I don't worry about stuff like that. Why? Because God is my source. He is my sword. When I first got turned on the Word of Faith message, I had a minister. I started going to church down. It was Calvary Church at Midland at that time. It's Calvary Praise and Worship now. David Carroll had got turned on. A Methodist pastor got turned on the Word of Faith. And he taught me. I came out of a Baptist church. And he taught me the Word of God and faith. And he's one of them kinds. He said, "Man, I'm going to tell you right now. I don't care what happens nowhere. If coffee gets to $10 a cup, and I need a cup of coffee, God will make sure I get one." I said, "Man, I tell you what, that sounds good." Faith began to rise in me. And I began to learn how to walk by faith and believe God for what I need. I'm serious. What does that have to do with it? Somebody needed that. Somebody needed that. But let faith, let patience have its perfect work. So you can't rush it. You got to let it go. Let it have its perfect work. Glory be to God. Glory, hallelujah. I just looked at my watch. You know what that means? Nothing. Hallelujah. It don't mean nothing. Glory, hallelujah. Look at Romans chapter 5. Go back now. I think we already done verse 4, but we'll go again. Hallelujah. I like that. That was good. What? I got you laughing. Merry heart does good like a medicine. We all need to laugh more. Hallelujah. Oh, we done, I got ahead of myself a while ago, but that's fine. It was good anyway. And patience, endurance, and endurance, hope. The hope, yes. Glory, hallelujah. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Glory, hallelujah. I need you to look at that. I want you to see some things there. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Glory, hallelujah. And we're going to read verses 1 through 5. 2 Timothy chapter 2, and that is 2 Timothy this time, okay? Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Glory, hallelujah. Therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. This is Paul talking to Timothy here. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. You know, some of you need to get in the Word of God and learn the Word of God because God wants you to teach other people stuff that you know, faith that you know in. And stuff that you know that works. That's what he's saying here. Look what I said. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You remember a while ago when we were reading, Paul said, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. And he explains, a messenger from Satan to buffet me. He was talking about buffeting spirits. You know what buffet means? I didn't look it up, but if I'm wrong, you let me know. It's like boxing somebody's ears or something. Causing you some pain, causing you some agony. Those buffeting spirits that was always hindering Paul, trying to stop Paul from doing what God had called him to do. Same thing I showed you the devil was trying to do earlier, stop you from fulfilling the will of God for your life. Paul was shipwrecked. He was stoned a couple times and left for dead. All kind of things. What, spent a day and a night in the deep? All kind of stuff. But he never once let Satan get the upper hand. Now he's here telling Timothy, thou therefore endure hardness. What? He's talking about temptation, test, and trials, persecution, all this stuff. Paul went through a hard life. But he refused to get his eyes off the prize. And we're going to be seeing that in a little bit. Even there one time things got so bad, he had said, you know, I'm caught in a in between the twigs. I don't know where to go home and be with the Lord or to stay here with you. My desire is to go home and be with the Lord. But you need me more than that. So I'm going to stay here. Now that's putting God first in what you do, in everything you do. I'm going to do what God is best for you. Because, amen, I can go, when I get done, finish my course, I'm saying stay on course is what we're looking at. When I finish my course, I'm going to be with the Lord. But right now, you need me worse than I need to go. Glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangles himself with the affairs of this life. Got to keep your eyes on God. Got to keep your eyes on what God's told you to do. Don't let Satan get you off track with all these temptation tests, trials, and all these persecutions and stuff. That's what Paul's telling Timothy. I mean, you know, it's hard. It's hard. Life is hard sometimes. But when we got Christ on the inside of us and His Word to illuminate our pathway, man, life can be easier than what it would be. It is easier if we put our faith in God. He'll bring us through it just like He did the Hebrew children without even any smoke on their clothes. Not that didn't have to worry about the fire, the smoke didn't even get in their clothes. Hallelujah. How did that happen? I believe that the fire of the Lord was the ring of fire around the Lord around them, and he couldn't nothing get to them no way. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory, hallelujah. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier. Dennis talking about that. Okay, we're going to go on. Go to 2 Timothy 4. And before I read this, I want you to think about something here. Now, Paul says, endure hardness as a good soldier of the Lord. And what I was talking about earlier, I don't even remember what I was doing. It was just as plain as if you'd have flipped the picture up on that wall back there and me see it. And what it was Paul on that island when he was shipwrecked, you know, and all, and he told everybody on the ship, he said, don't fear, God told me ain't nobody going to lose their life. Well, they get up on that island and the people build them a fire and everything and all, and it's getting warm. Oh, it's soaking wet because they had to swim ashore. And they're building fire, and Paul was putting some wood on the fire, and a very poisonous snake, latched onto his hand. Latched on to his hand. And Paul reaches over and just shakes it off in the fire. Satan doing everything he could to stop Paul from doing what God had told him to do. He told him, he said, Paul, you're going to speak to kings and all kind of high-ranking people for me. Satan was trying to stop him, and Paul just shook it off in the fire. And what the Lord said to me was, he said, tell my people that they need to begin to shake off the things of the world. Shake off the things of the devil that's trying to stop them and hinder them from fulfilling my call on their life. Shake it off. Shake it off. Say that with me. Shake it off. Sickness and disease that tries to attach itself to your body, shake it off. Shake it off. Shake it off. Glory, hallelujah. Well, you need to say that, man. I'm telling you, there's power in that. Shake it off. in Jesus' name. I don't come in my own strength. I come in the strength of the Lord. I shake it off in Jesus' name. Why? Because I'm the healed of the Lord. He's already healed me over 2,000 years ago. 2 Peter, by His stripes you were healed. Glory, hallelujah. Finances. I don't have the money to do the things I need to do. Shake it off. Bring your tithes and offerings to the Lord. Is His word true or is it not? If I give, will He give back to me? Or if I give, will He take away from me? We got to begin to, devil, you're a liar. I shake off that, cast down that thought, that vain imagination. I don't need this money. God needs it. I don't need this money to the degree I'm not going to give my tithes and offerings. Why? Because when I give, it will be given back unto me. I like this saying too, and it's a good one. If you don't have enough to pay the bill or meet the need of what man you got in your hand, give it to the Lord. He can give it. He can multiply. If you don't have enough to pay the bill, then what you need is some more money. You don't need to spend or waste that what little bit you got just because you ain't got enough to pay that bill. You can give it to the Lord. And He will give it back to you. What does He do? Is He going to rain money out of heaven? No, He's not. It'd be counterfeit if He did. He's going to cause men to give into your bosom. Look at someone and say, He's going to cause men to give into my bosom. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. I've shared that with you. Now, don't forget that. This is anointed from the right from the throne room of God. Shake it off. Anything. I'm talking about in the future, anything you're going through right now. Just like that dead, the devil and him trying to put that tickle in my throat. I shake it off in Jesus' name. I will not be silent in Jesus' name. Glory, hallelujah. Now look, let's 2 Timothy chapter 4. Glory, hallelujah. I got to hurry up. Look at verse 6. Yeah, we talked about Paul was caught in a twig between two, to go or to stay. Look at verse 6. For I am now ready. I'm now ready to be offered. I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. This is what we all should desire to be our last words. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. Stay on course. God's wanting you to finish your course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give unto me in that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing. Paul says, I'm ready. My course is finished. There's one of the great men in the Bible, and I can't remember exactly which one it is right now, but I do know that when it come time for him to go, he just sat down, gathered his feet up on his bed, and went to be with the Lord. No, was it Isaac? I can't remember which one it was. But they just went to be with the Lord. You don't have to die with sickness and disease. We can go out of this world when our course is finished. And if we stay that course and our course is finished, we can go out of this world in honor. Hallelujah. Like some of the great patriarchs of old. Hallelujah. Old, a right, good old age. Hallelujah. Yes. You don't have to be sick. You don't have to go sick with sickness and disease. Hallelujah. We ought to be able to, and we are able to choose the way we want to go as far as sickness and disease. Why? Because God's given His word to us that we can live a victorious life. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let's bow our heads. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name, Lord. Thank you for your word that has went forth this day. Father, I pray, Lord, that you have touched all of our hearts.
Lord God, that not one will leave this place without getting something from you this day. That our ears have been open, Lord, to hear your word. And that your word is truth. Father, we just thank you for that right now. And I thank you, Father God, that I, by faith, I believe every one of us, everyone in here, will go from this place this day changed by the power of your word. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.